At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms. At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
We're live right here on Football Full Circle. It's a new day on FFC. He is Scott Wetzel. I am Ben Stevens. We were hanging out together last night at the Sports Grid Holiday Party. We get you set for the final month of the NFL regular season live right here on Sports Grid Radio today on Football Full Circle. Week number 15 kicks off tomorrow. Not exactly the most illustrious or premier primetime game in National Football League history, but we'll get you set for Thursday night in Las Vegas between the Raiders and the Chargers, and really use that, Scott, as the springboard to the final month of this NFL regular season. 14 weeks in the books, 18 weeks in the regular season, 4 more weekends to go. Bye weeks are done, all 32 NFL teams in action each and every weekend for the remainder of this season, and with so much to iron and figure out, Scott, in those playoff races in both of the conferences, we're going to need to dive through everything today on Football Full Circle.
Yeah, not great monster games, but we have more games this week than we've had all year, which involve, you know, winning teams. In fact, all 3 Saturday games involve all winning teams, believe it or not. And I don't think you would have said that, a few weeks ago, especially with the Denver Broncos being involved. And then even the Raiders and Chargers on Thursday night. Listen, it's not a great game, don't get me wrong, but Friday night, actually. But it's not a great game. But listen, it's 5-8 teams, and the winner remains alive in the playoff chase, and the loser, for all intents and purposes, is out. So got a lot riding on all these games this week.
And that's part of the conversation, right? The fact that 2 5-8 teams can battle it out to kick off week 15, the end of the final month of the regular season, or the beginning of the end of the regular season, I should say. And the winner of that game, Scott, picking up their 6th win, is still very much in the thick of an AFC wildcard chase. Let's bring in our Sports Grid Radio audience here. Hour number one, our 1 hour here on Football Full Circle, Sirius XM channel 159. 159 is the home for Sports Grid Radio on Sirius XM. He's Scott Wetzel. I am Ben Stevens. Thank you for joining us today on Football Full Circle. So, Scott, some quarterback news that we shared yesterday that, of course, will have an impact on tomorrow night's game. Justin Herbert, a fractured right index finger on that throwing hand. He is having surgery. He is out for the remainder of 2023. Easton Stick is going to be the starter for the Chargers moving forward. Max Duggan, the guy that was a Heisman finalist, leading TCU to a national championship game a season ago in college football, now back as his backup in LA. It will be Easton Stick and the Chargers going up against the Las Vegas Raiders, led by Aiden O'Connell. The Raiders, a 3-point favorite, Scott. The over under 34 points. And you're right, if Las Vegas wins, as the odds anticipate even outright, the Raiders are 6-8. They are still very much in the running for a postseason spot. They're a game and a half behind the 6 teams that are 7-6 in the battle of that wild card race in the AFC, but their season is not done by any means.
No, listen, it's 6-8. You're basically right there. You probably need some help, but, you know, you still are mathematically alive, and you could sell that to your fan base. And if you think it really doesn't mean anything, think about here in New York with the Giants, right? The Giants are in a similar situation. Realistically, does anybody think they're going to make the playoffs? No, but they got themselves a couple of wins. They're 5-8. Something about Ben being mathematically alive keeps the dream alive for football fans. You know, basketball fans, baseball fans, you know, you're done, right? But football fans, as long as we're mathematically alive, you never know. We might get into a great streak here and turn things around and head into the postseason and make a miracle run. So, listen, winner stays alive and the loser is basically done. Now, that's not too bad for Thursday.
And at the very least, Scott, the coaches in the locker room can use that idea of being alive and not eliminated from playoff contention right now as motivation. We should see that tomorrow for the Las Vegas Raiders. The Chargers in the same boat, but I'm not sure things are going to be as optimistic in that locker room after losing Justin Herbert. Scott, we talked about this briefly yesterday. I think Brandon Staley is going to be gone as the Chargers head coach moving forward into 2024. And Scott, we got a little bit of news yesterday from Tom Curran, who works at NBC Sports Boston. It wasn't confirmed by any of the major NFL insiders that we know, Adam Schefter, Ian Rappaport, so on and so forth, that the Patriots have already decided they are moving on from Bill Belichick. That is more than 2-decade run as the Patriots head coach is going to come to a close at the end of 2023. Scott, until I see Schefter tweet or report about it, I still take it with a grain of salt. What did you make of that report from Tom Curran of NBC Sports Boston?
Yeah, listen, this has been rumored for a long time, right? For a few weeks now, really almost maybe the beginning of the year, we've heard that he could be out in New England. We talked about it before, so it's nothing new unless you put a quote behind it, unless you put a definitive, okay, he's gone, and here's where they're going to go, and here's where he's going to go. I'm not buying it. I don't doubt it, though. I am a little surprised, but I guess it's been 4 years, and when you consider 3 of the 4 without Brady has been under 500, but, you know, this team wasn't in the playoffs just a couple of years ago, but it's quickly falling apart. It is, what have you done for me lately? I'd like to think that if it is true that it's a mutual thing, honestly, a real mutual thing versus Belichick getting kicked out. I mean, I can't believe the greatest coach maybe of all time, one of the best ones, right, is actually going to get fired because he's not producing Super Bowls anymore. But I like I said, until they actually put a definitive, I'm not believing it, but I don't doubt it. It's one of those, you know, you and I could do the same thing, Ben. We could both send out a tweet saying, yep, you know what?
Yeah.
I talked to a few people, and yeah, it seems like they're going to move on because that's what the consensus is. We all kind of think that now. So I don't put a whole lot more credence into what I thought last week versus what Curran said, and now I believe it even more. No.
Yeah, and I think, Scott, it could go into the idea, right? How are you going to part ways with one of, if not the greatest, NFL head coaches this sport has ever seen? Bill Belichick will be in the pantheon, along the names of Shula, and as you look at it, Lombardi, right? But when it comes to the situation currently constructed in New England, I've said this a few times, it's not that Bill Belichick bit off more than he can chew. You give him the benefit of the doubt, but the last few years, the construction of the organization and the roster, which Bill Belichick has his hands firmly in. There is not a general manager of sorts like we often see in the structure of NFL organizations. It hasn't worked out. Free agency moves have come back to bite them. They have drafted poorly, and that's why overall there's been a talent gap for this roster, leading to only 3 wins this season. As Bill Belichick was asked about it, Scott, just about an hour ago in the pre-week 15 press conference, as New England gets ready to host Kansas City, the Patriots, a 9.5-point underdog, Bill Belichick went back to the cliche that he uses from time to time. I'm focused on Kansas City. That's all he had to say. I think, Scott, it's not really a game that makes or breaks for New England by any means with that 3-10 mark. They're the only team that's been eliminated from postseason contention right now in the AFC. It's a game the Chiefs must have, and I think it's a game the Chiefs must win and cover by margin, Scott. You got to see something out of KC on Sunday from that offensive output to really hammer New England.
Yeah, and back to the report just for a second. You know, silence is it speaks volumes, right? The fact that they're even, like, acknowledging that this could be true rather than just saying, you know what, are you kidding me? Really, please, don't even bring it up.
Right.
Shows you that there probably is something to it.
We hear that and see that all the time, Scott, in the college football coaching ranks when there's head coaching movement and somebody is asked, hey, are you looking to go to this bigger school for this better job? And they're like, I'm focused on our bowl game. It's like, oh, we know the writing is on the wall. More coming your way on Football Full Circle up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on Football Full Circle, as any week in the National Football League will show, there is going to be a primary focus on injury in quarterback news. And Scott, we got some QB news yesterday. Justin Herbert out for the remainder of the season. The injury to his right throwing hand and that fractured index finger that will require surgery. More quarterback news, but not dealing with an injury in Minneapolis. The Vikings have made the move. Joshua Dobbs now on the bench. Nick Mullins is going to get the start week number 15. It's the first game of three in that triple header on Saturday. The Vikings on the road in Cincinnati. A battle of the backups that maybe have shown some promise. Minnesota, that 3.5-point underdog. Scott, were you surprised by Kevin O'Connell for his 7-6 Minnesota Vikings team that currently is in the second of three wild card spots in the NFC to sit down Joshua Dobbs and name Nick Mullins the starter moving forward?
No, not really, right? I mean, I know they won last week 3-0, but that was embarrassing. And not that Mullins was great, but you know, at least he threw for 83 yards and 9 of 13, moved the offense a little bit. But when Joshua Dobbs is not going to be your starting quarterback next year, right? I don't know if Nick Mullins will be either, but there's really no, it is a production-based position right now for Minnesota. It's not a young kid. They're saying, you know what, we just got to go through the lumps, whether we're risking a playoff spot or not, no big deal, because we got to look at the big picture. That's not the case with Joshua Dobbs, so I'm not surprised. He's really struggled the last few games, and really when you look at it, outside of the first two, when he was beating Atlanta and he was beating New Orleans, things didn't go well against Denver. They didn't go well against Chicago. That was embarrassing on Monday night, right? So, yeah, listen, you're not throwing them away, you know, and you're not even saying, listen, you might not get back in there, but for now, we got to get a spark. We can't count on winning. Scoring 3 points last week, 10 points the week before. Right? 13 points in two games is not going to cut it, so not surprised.
Yeah, not surprised at all. Nick Mullins in that game, though, did throw for more than 90 yards, came in and played, Scott, from the 9-minute mark in the fourth quarter, and of course did orchestrate the only offensive points we saw in the game that was the difference, Minnesota winning 3-0 over the Raiders. And listen, Nick Mullins does not have multiple years of starting experience, but he has made multiple starts in the National Football League. 9 for 13, 83 yards, no touchdowns, no interceptions against the Las Vegas Raiders. And Scott, there is a difference when you come in thrust into a situation, even with experience as a backup quarterback, into the middle of a National Football League game, especially in a tied NFL game, scoreless that it was, albeit, but a tied football game in the fourth quarter in a pivotal game for your postseason life, versus Nick Mullins now having this semi-short week, of course only 6 days from Sunday until Saturday, but having a full week of practice virtually to get ready as the number one starter, working with the ones and the rest of the starters offensively. Even if Nick Mullins took a snap last week with the starters at practice, as they had an idea that maybe it wasn't secured for Joshua Dobbs, I would find that hard to believe. If you name a guy a starter, he's going to get the starter reps and he's going to be out there constantly. It's not like Nick Mullins was filling up water bottles at practice a week ago for Minnesota, but now he gets to be the guy working with the starters, hearing from Kevin O'Connell. He's in the meeting room, sure, always preparing like he wants to get ready, but now he's taking those number one reps. I think it will pay dividends. And we've seen that be the case now for Jake Browning, getting a couple of starts under his belt and looking damn good in doing so. A 75.5 QBR. Now, Jake Browning has only made a few starts this year. That would be best in the NFL, but for quarterbacks who have made at least double-digit starts this season, Brock Purdy and Dak Prescott outweigh what Jake Browning has done. But we've seen what it means mean, Scott, when you have the consistent reps as the starting quarterback and what that can lead to in terms of your offensive success and what it means overall for your team. Scott, Minnesota's in an interesting position. It's part of the NFC wildness that is the wild card race. There are six teams overall in the conference at 6-7, including all three teams that are still alive in the running for the NFC South Divisional Crown, the Bucks, the Falcons, and the Saints. And then, Scott, we have three other teams at 6-7 in the NFC, the Packers, Rams, and Seahawks, all hunting wild card spots, where Minnesota has the game cushion over all six of those teams at 6-7. Scott, are you confident at all that Minnesota is going to be a playoff team, or are they in the same spot in your mind as a Green Bay at 6-7 or the Rams at 6-7? They just have a game difference at this moment.
It's one of those things where somebody has to do it. It's like you could pick apart Minnesota, right? You certainly could pick apart Green Bay, Rams. I probably have the most confidence in the Rams. Seattle's, you know, that they can't buy a win anymore. Falcons and Saints, you don't really think they're going to compete. But realistically, you know what? They might. You know, believe it or not, you might get two teams out of the NFC South, both with losing records, mind you, to make the postseason here. So, yeah. So you have to find one, or you have to find two, realistically, right? With Dallas and Philadelphia taking one of the spots. So, you know, which one has the less warts is basically what you're asking. I don't think Minnesota's getting there. I'm not in love with Dobbs. I'm not in love with Mullins. I think Green Bay, you know, okay, what happened this past week? Blip on the radar screen. You shouldn't lose to the Giants, but, you know, Monday night, crazy things happen. I think the Rams end up getting in. I don't think Seattle does, and I think ultimately you do get just one out of the NFC South, but I don't think Minnesota Ben's going to make it. I don't with that quarterback.
Yeah, right now the Vikings have a minus 180 price to see the postseason. The next best for those teams in wild card spots at the moment would be the Packers at plus 104, meaning because of how wild things are, you can find some plus money. Scott, I love the trajectory of this LA Rams team. Matthew Stafford, healthy, finding Cooper Kupp and Puka Nacua. And Kyren Williams has emerged for this LA team in the backfield. That's a plus 180. Number. Maybe you trust Geno Smith if he's back and healthy. Plus 260 for Seattle. Some big plus money there. Tampa Bay is plus 110, but that is also taking into account their price to win the NFC South, the favorites at the moment. The Saints, the longest price in the NFC South, plus 185. Tampa plus 155. The Saints just to make the postseason, plus 146. The Falcons plus 142. The Dirty Birds have the second price in the division at plus 175. Scott, those three prices I just said in the NFC South, Tampa the favorites, plus 155, Atlanta plus 175, the Saints plus 185, all three teams within 30 cents of each other. Scott, I have a Saints to win the NFC South ticket that I got way back in the offseason. I thought it was good. I thought it was dead. Now it's got some life to it once again. The Saints do not play a team the remainder of their four games this year that is currently above 500, and yet they have a slightly harder schedule than that of both Atlanta and Tampa Bay at this moment. Tampa plays a team above 500. That's Jacksonville. Atlanta plays a team above 500. That's Indianapolis. But the fact, Scott, that both the Falcons and the Buccaneers have the Panthers remaining on the slate makes their schedule slightly easier than that of New Orleans.
Yeah. You know what, though, Ben? You know, you could say this about all these teams. They all, you know, that was the one thing we had brought up before the season began. You looked at the NFC South and said, boy, their schedules are so easy. That's why some of their win totals were 8.5, 9.5, because of the schedule that they have. Even the LA Rams, though, right? They got Washington, the Saints, and the Giants. Now, they do finish up with that San Fran, but, you know, that game might be meaningless for the 49ers if they have the first place locked up, or if they have second place locked up and they can't get first place. So that might even be an easy game. They all, like I said, they all have relatively easy schedules. Which one is going to emerge? Will any of them go 3-1? And you just say, all right, maybe we're not going to go 4-0. We can't beat all these mediocre teams. This is why we are mediocre. But which one can go 3-1 and get into the postseason? You know, it's all there. Saints, easy schedule. Falcons, Rams, Packers isn't that difficult. But that doesn't mean they're victories, right? We saw that this past week with the Dolphins and with Green Bay on Monday night. So which team is actually going to come through? And will it matter? Ultimately, are any of these teams even going to win one playoff game?
Probably not. Probably not, yeah. Based on where the odds are. And we'll have that discussion on the other side, because I'm going to ask Scott Wetzel some tough questions as we come back here on Football Full Circle. By the way, in the NFC South, the Saints end the year on the road in Tampa against the Buccaneers, week 17. Then they host the Atlanta Falcons, week number 18. I think the division is decided in those 2 weeks between those three teams. More on Football Full Circle coming your way up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on Football Full Circle, it is FFC. So, Scott, as we try to decipher what the playoff picture is going to look like over the final month of this NFL regular season in 2023, of course, all the tiebreakers that you need to read through right now and the paragraphs of literature that break down why this team is ahead of the other or why these teams with the same record are seated four spots away from each other, all of that is going to iron itself out. We'll have the clinching scenarios updated each and every week, but there are some things, Scott, that you can look at right now and start to glean a little bit of an outlook for the end of the season and certainly into the playoffs come mid-January in the National Football League. Scott, you brought this up before we got to the break. When you look at the hierarchy of the NFC, there is no doubt San Francisco is on a tier and a peg of its own. The 49ers plus 110 now to win the NFC Championship. Somehow, some way, that number even becoming shorter in the last 24 hours. San Francisco is near an even money favorite to win the NFC Championship this year. The Philadelphia Eagles, second best price, plus 350. The Dallas Cowboys, plus 420. Those three teams, Scott, separated by about $3, and then it's a large drop-off, double the price of Dallas, add on a couple of dollars and some cents, and you get to Detroit at 10-1. Add on $30 from Detroit's price to Minnesota, it's 40-1, and then the Saints are 50-1. So, Scott, your question before the break, whoever wins the NFC South, whoever makes it into the NFC wild card in those final two spots that is not either the Philadelphia Eagles or the Dallas Cowboys in that top wild card spot, the number five seed, are they going to make some noise? The odds say nope, probably not.
Yeah, and not only not make noise, they might be double-digit underdogs. You know, let's just say for the sake of argument, San Fran's the number one seed, right? So they get the bye, and let's just say Dallas is the, you know, the winner of the NFC East. So Philadelphia's your wild card. So they would more than likely have to play at this point, right, the winner of the NFC South. Would Philadelphia be a 10-point favorite? Don't know about that, but Dallas certainly at home, or Philadelphia at home, if they were to win the division, I think would be a 10-point favorite. Detroit, you know, at home, would they be 10? You know, maybe not 10, but pretty darn close to it, right? They'd be over a touchdown, I would think, as long as Detroit can kind of turn itself around here a little bit. So they're going to be one-sided games. It's going to be a great finish. Listen, that's what the NFL wants. That's what fans want. You know, it has interest in games and everything else. But when everything is said and done, whether it's Tampa or Atlanta, I'm still holding out for my New Orleans Super Bowl ticket. So I won't throw them in there. But whether it's them or the Falcons or the Saints or the Vikings or the Packers, are any of those teams really winning a first round game? I kind of doubt it. I really do.
Yeah. And that's really what it comes down to, Scott. Not only would they be underdogs in those matchups, could they make noise? Could they keep the game close? Could they get past any bit of those points? Yes, the Week 17 games we are going to see between the Packers and the Lions are going to have huge ramifications down the stretch. Look at what we have on the slate this week for those wild card contenders in the AFC, because so many of the teams play the others around them. I'm fired up for that first game on Saturday, Scott, the Bengals and the Vikings. A 3.5-point spread in favor of Cincy. A huge game for both of these teams that are a game above 500 for the wild card hopes. Same with the next game up that day. A matchup of two other AFC 7-6 teams, the Colts and the Steelers. And that's Gardner Minshew versus Mitch Trubisky. That's Jake Browning versus Nick Mullins. And I'm still looking forward to it, but it doesn't mean the quality of football rivals that of a Philadelphia, a San Francisco, or a Dallas. And that's my next question to you, Scott. When you look at what the seed list looks like currently. San Francisco 1, Dallas 2, Philadelphia 5. The reason Dallas is in the 2 spot right now is based on a better overall record in common games against Philadelphia, or common opponents, best win percentage in division games at this moment. Philly has a much easier schedule down the stretch, the easiest in the National Football League. Dallas, the 10th most difficult here in the final month of this regular season. But Scott, we're pretty confident. 1, 2, and 5 is going to be some order of San Francisco, Dallas, and Philadelphia. So let's play out the path. The 1 seed now is the only team that gets the bye in both conferences. They would, if things go chalk, have to more than likely host that top wildcard team in the divisional round, because it's pretty clear to say, Scott, as you just alluded to a couple of minutes ago, the Cowboys or the Eagles taking on the champion of the NFC South, albeit on the road, are going to be at least a 5.5, 6.5 point favorite in that wild card round. So then you would think if it goes chalk, the 1 seed has to host either Dallas or Philadelphia before then playing either Dallas or Philadelphia more than likely in the actual NFC Championship game. If you're the 2 seed, in this case it's the Cowboys right now, you would host the 7 seed, which could be a team making the postseason at 9-8 or maybe even 8-9 in that final wild card spot. Then again, if things go chalk in Detroit, who would be the 3 seed courtesy of winning the NFC North, you would take on either a Lions team that just won its first division in 30 years, its first playoff game in more than that, 32 NFL seasons. And then you would have to go on the road to the 1 seed, but you would have more than likely a slightly easier path to an NFC Championship game. Scott, do you believe there is any merit that I could say to you right now, you actually might want to be the number 2 seed in the NFC more than that number 1 overall seed in the NFC?
You know, I'll take the bye. I know it might be a little tougher road, but I'll take the bye knowing that the team you face, you know, didn't have a bye and has that extra schedule and hasn't had byes in a little while now. So yeah. I don't say where you're coming from, but I don't think so. I still would rather have the number 1. The only team that would scare me out of all those wild card teams, and again, maybe it's a homer pick just because I thought the Saints would do well at the beginning of the year, would be the Saints to me. I still think that just maybe they could put it all together with their defense and with Carr. I don't think anyone's afraid of Tampa Bay. No one's afraid of the Atlanta Falcons or Minnesota or Green Bay with Joshua Dobbs, no, you know, or Nick Mullins. I think the Saints would be the one, but I don't necessarily think that's really a big scare. If those 3 top teams don't advance to the second round, it would be a major upset for me.
Yeah, I agree. And Scott, you asked the question yesterday, right? Pick your top 2 teams in the National Football League at this point. And I chose San Francisco and Philadelphia. Would I take that pair of teams right now in a match bet versus everybody else that's still in the running for the postseason and one of those teams making or even winning a Lombardi Trophy as the Super Bowl 58 champion? And we're getting really, really close. And the odds makers are getting really close to almost saying that as well. We talked about the pricing in the NFC, the 49ers plus 110. Philly plus 350, Dallas plus 420, a drop-off to Detroit, a larger drop-off even after the Lions. When you look at the Super Bowl 58 odds, San Francisco plus 260, that's more than half of everybody else, right? Baltimore 6-1, Kansas City plus 650, the Eagles plus 750, the Dolphins 8-1, and the Dallas Cowboys at plus 850. Those are the 6 teams right now with 3 digits in their Super Bowl 58 price. And San Francisco, it would seem, courtesy of the odds maker, Scott, leaps and bounds in front of everybody else in the NFL.
Yeah, they may be, but I don't think they're worthy of that kind of praise. I just, you know, listen, this team did lose 3 in a row. They're not battling for an undefeated season here and everything else, right? I mean, they are, you know, susceptible to getting into a little bit of slumps. If God forbid, if Christian McCaffrey ever got hurt, you know, like he did basically every single year, literally when he was in Carolina, you know, that would change the fortunes of San Francisco around completely, right? So I understand it, but I don't think they're deserving of being that overwhelming of the consensus pick. I think they have as many warts as Dallas or as Philadelphia or as Baltimore. I think they all have a certain amount of, like, okay, you know, that they could lose. Yeah. Wouldn't shock me completely if they lost.
Yeah, me neither, right? We have seen them reach the NFC Championship game 3 of the last 4 years. I think Brock Purdy this year is better than Brock Purdy last year. And, of course, he was injured in the NFC Championship game after Hassan Reddick sacked him and forced a fumble by hitting his right throwing arm. But we know that Brock Purdy is better than what we've seen out of Jimmy Garoppolo, but they've ultimately come up short multiple times of reaching a Super Bowl. They did get there and ended up losing to the Kansas City Chiefs a few years ago. I just think it's a fascinating case study to paint out the path because you have those three teams at 10-3 in the NFC. And Scott, I agree with you, by the way. I'd rather be the one seed. I'd rather get that extra week of rest to get ready for a playoff run. And listen, if you're going to win a Super Bowl, if you're going to win a conference championship, even if a lot of the conference is kind of mediocre, you're going to have to beat a few good teams to be there at the end of the road. Conversation now for the AFC, where Baltimore is the only double-digit win team on that side of the league. The Ravens, 10-3. The Dolphins, 9-4. The Chiefs and the Jaguars, 8-5. Those are the four divisional frontrunners at this moment. When you look at the odds in the AFC, plus 240, Baltimore the favorite, plus 290, Kansas City, second best number. The Dolphins, plus 350. Those three teams got virtually separated by a dollar. Then you drop off to Jacksonville at 10-1. And now the Buffalo Bills starting to get some steam in this market, also at plus 1,000, that 10-1 number. Scott, I think if there is any value on the board right now, either conference, but any value on the board, I think the best place for it is Buffalo. And I don't really think that's because I believe Buffalo is better this year than they were the previous couple when they came up short of appearing in an AFC Championship game or in a Super Bowl game as well. I just think based on where the value is and where teams are trending in the AFC, Buffalo gives you a chance to have a long shot price. We're coming up on the break. Don't want to bury it there, but we'll have a conversation on the other side on where we see value with short numbers on San Francisco and with groups of teams in both conferences kind of all around one another before we get some drop-offs, at least just based on where the numbers and odds are. We'll continue the conversation looking at the playoff picture in the AFC up next on Football Full Circle.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
There's one more month of the NFL regular season, 14 weeks now in the books, week 15 on the horizon starting tomorrow, 4 more weeks in this 18-week regular season. So we're reaching the point of the year where the cream is supposedly supposed to rise to the top. We have so many teams in the running for playoff spots in each conference. There is still so much to figure out, but it doesn't mean that just because there are so many teams, there's a lot of quantity, is there a lot of quality. We're starting to see that, Scott, from the odds makers. We talked about the NFC, and right before the break, we got to the AFC. The Ravens, the favorites now, the only double-digit win team in that conference, plus 240. 50 cents in front of Kansas City, plus 290 the price for the Chiefs, plus 350 the third best price for the Miami Dolphins. Those three teams separated by $1.10 before we get a drop-off to the Jacksonville Jaguars, still the odds-on favorites to win the AFC South, although that divisional lead is tightening just a little bit. And then the Buffalo Bills, also at 10-1. And Scott, right before the break, as we came up to it, I made the point to you that I think with where the numbers are shortening and what the playoff picture is starting to look like, one of the best places for value on a long shot number still relative at this point of the year, in my estimation, is Buffalo to win the AFC at plus 1,000, that 10-1 price. Scott, what do you think of where Buffalo stands entering week number 15?
I think that number will flip pretty quickly. You know, if the Dolphins were to lose this weekend, Or even just say that they win at home against the Jets. And I do think that's going to be a more difficult game than what the odds makers are saying. But let's just say they find a way to win. More importantly, if Buffalo were able to beat Dallas at home, and I think they will, I think that 10-1 will be long, long gone. Because then it'll be like, okay, now the Bills have kind of survived their gauntlet schedule. Things ease up a little bit, and the Dolphins, more importantly, start their major schedule. And if it turns out that Buffalo can win that division, they will not be 10-1. You know, they're 10-1 now because the perception will be they're going to have to go through Baltimore, Kansas City, Miami, Jacksonville, you know, pick three of those four teams more than likely come playoff time. And that would be a tough road to hoe. You might be able to win one, maybe even two, but to win three of those games, that would be difficult. But you win the division, now you're getting at least one of those games at home. So I think that 10-1, long story short, for them is pretty darn good. I tell you the other one, Ben, I know it's a little goofy and, you know, again, maybe a homer pick, but out of all the teams, and we kind of started talking about this yesterday, in the AFC anyway, the one that I really, you don't really know to me is Cincinnati. You just, is Jake Browning, point being, is he just a two blip wonder? You know, two terrific games. We've seen that many, many times, right? Joshua Dobbs to be the first example I can throw at you right away. And then, you know, they've got a book on Joshua Dobbs, and now Joshua Dobbs is on the bench. But, you know, we don't really know about Browning. Yeah. You know, the big-time recruit, went to Washington, a little bit of a disappointment, you know, with the Huskies, but still did well, draft choice. You don't know if he's, like, maybe the second coming of a really, really good quarterback versus, you know what you're getting out of the Cleveland Browns, you know what you're getting out of Pittsburgh, you know what you're getting out of Indianapolis with Gardner Minshew. Great stories, but there are limitations, right? You don't have, to me, that limitation with Cincinnati, so 85-1. I know they'd have to run the gauntlet. All these games are going to have to be on the road, but you get that team healthy with those wide receivers and mixing in the backfield. You don't have to be a great, great, great quarterback. We've seen this team win in San Francisco this year. I think just a little couple shekels at 85-1 might not be the worst position you make right now for them.
Yeah, absolutely, right? And we have praised at times what Cincinnati and Lou Anarumo have been able to do as they adjust later in the season. The Bengals haven't been a great defense this year by any means. Bottom 10 in both rushing and passing defense at this point. But if the defense can be on the uptick, everybody on the Bengals roster at this point, outside of Jake Browning, and I understand the quarterback is the most important position, but everybody on this Bengals roster, for the most part, coaching staff, players, likewise, whatever it might be, they have the experience to be in an AFC championship. They have been in the AFC championship each of the past two seasons. They wouldn't be overwhelmed by that spotlight. Maybe Jake Browning would be, right? The book is still out there, but we know Jamar Chase would be comfortable. We know on the other side of the ball that Trey Hendrickson would be comfortable. We know that when you look at it and where things stand with that offense, they would be fine in that spot. Zach Taylor, the head man, would be comfortable in those spots. It's not a bad look, Scott. And I think what's so fascinating, too, when you look at the six teams at 7-6 in the Cleveland Browns, top the wild card race in the AFC right now at 8-5. Scott, there are so many teams in the mix for it. But what is that overall record going to end up needing to be for your favorite team to get an AFC wild card or playoff spot? Scott, in the preseason, with how competitive we expected this conference to be, and maybe not competitive with some mediocre teams, but just competitive overall, we both said, I remember having these conversations, if you're not winning double-digit games in the AFC, you are not going to find your way into the postseason. So one of the great things is to make playoff prices, but also getting a fair evaluation of the updated win totals. For instance, Scott, the Buffalo Bills, their updated win total now 9.5. The over has the juice. Compare that to Cincinnati, 8.5 the number for the Bengals. The over also heavily juiced at -150. The Browns are at 10.5, but the under has the hefty juice at -150. The Denver Broncos in the running, 9.5, but the under heavily juiced at -152. The Colts, 9.5, under heavily juiced, -188. So on and so forth as you go through all of those potential AFC wild card contenders. Ultimately, Scott, what record, how many wins do you think those teams on the hunt of the wild card chase right now will need to post to be on the right side of the postseason by the time we get to that point?
All right. One thing the AFC has over the NFC is the NFC has one guaranteed, basically, wild card team, right? The loser of Dallas, Philadelphia is getting in. Can't really say that. You know, right now, the team that's sitting in the number one wild card spot, the Cleveland Browns, at 8-5, and we know their quarterback issues. So there's no guarantee. I do think 10-7 would get you in. I think ultimately there'll be a couple of 10-7 teams, and then I think the final one will be 9-8. And that is based on one, it's difficult to go 3-1 the rest of the way because all these teams, for better or worse, play each other. You know, Pittsburgh's got to play Cincinnati. Cincinnati's got to play Cleveland. Colts and the Texans. And all these teams are all squaring off. Someone's got to lose. So it's got to take something for a team to go 3-1 the rest of the way. You do, you're in. 9-8, no doubt there'll be some 9-8 teams that get in, and there'll be a couple of 9-8 teams that probably don't get in. So that's 3-1 is the goal the rest of the way for all these clubs.
Yeah, well said, Scott. I completely agree. I think if you get to 10, you're feeling really good about where you stand. But can you get to 10? We have talked about what is remaining for these teams. Pittsburgh plays the Bengals and the Colts. The Bengals play Pittsburgh and the Browns and even the Minnesota Vikings on the other side of things in the NFC. The Colts then play both the Steelers and the Texans, their divisional mate in Houston that is also 7-6. By the way, Houston plays not only the Colts, but the Browns, another wild card team. All of that to say there are so many teams that play each other in this wild card race, except for one, Scott, and that's the Denver Broncos. They play the Lions this upcoming Saturday. It's the nightcap of the triple header that we have on this Saturday, week number 15. And then after that, the final three games for Denver, not necessarily in order, New England, Las Vegas, and Los Angeles. It's a really easy schedule for the Broncos. In fact, it's the third easiest schedule in the AFC behind only Jacksonville and Kansas City, but it's by far the easiest for the Broncos in that group of six teams at 7-6. Again, we shared Denver's updated win total 9.5, but the under has that juice at this moment. And that makes sense, Scott, because the Broncos, for instance, in their last game against a team that currently has a winning record, is a 4-point road underdog in Detroit on Saturday night. The Lions have been a little bit lacking here the last few weeks. They have won twice. They have lost twice. And last week we saw another disappointing result in Chicago. What do you make of that Saturday nightcap? What do you make of the Broncos' chances to get one of those AFC wildcard spots?
Well, that's pretty good, right? I mean, it's hard to imagine a team that gave up 70 points in a football game that was 1-5 is actually in a darn good spot to make the playoffs. They could even, I think this game is kind of like house money, Ben. I mean, with that remaining schedule, Patriots at home, Chargers at home, and then the Raiders who will be done by then, you know, with a, you know, no head coach and in a quarterback situation that's up in the air. I mean, they could easily go 3-0, right? So if they were to win this week against the Lions, boy, I'd be hard pressed to make a situation where they don't make the playoffs, to tell you the truth. There are your three wins, you know, that would put you in, as we're saying.
Yeah, and that's a great point, Scott, right? 3-1 down this stretch, 10 wins. Denver's sitting pretty. Denver's feeling good. Now, there might be a couple of teams that get to 10 wins, right, as they go on this run here. There's so many teams that have that potential. Not everyone will, but there could be three or four teams that get to 10 wins. So does it guarantee you a playoff spot? No, but you're feeling pretty good if you're the Broncos right now. And listen, I was incredibly critical, as I think many of us were, about Russell Wilson, about Sean Payton, about how the Broncos organized their franchise and all that they invested and all that they gave up to have those results in the first month and a half of the NFL season. They deserve to have blame cast on them. Well, now praise needs to be there as well, as the defense is playing so well under Vance Joseph. The numbers are never going to look good for Denver this year because they gave up 70 points in week number 3 to the Dolphins and allowed a ton of points in those first six games as a whole. But the defense is playing a ton better. better here over the final month and a half of this regular season. The offense hasn't even really exploded by any means, but they found a system that has very much worked for Russell Wilson, organized and orchestrated by Sean Payton, that has allowed Javonte Williams to have some good weeks, that has allowed Cortland Sutton to emerge as that top target for Russell Wilson. The Broncos have really turned things around, Scott. It's going to be a really interesting end of the season for Denver. If they're going to start 0-3 and then 1-5 following 6 weeks and end up in the postseason, that's as good of a midseason turnaround as you'll find in recent NFL memory.
Yeah, it really is. And I tell you, they haven't done it against cupcakes, and it's not like they're feasting on the bottom feeders. The bottom feeders are coming up. You know, they beat Kansas City. They beat Green Bay. They won at Buffalo. They beat Minnesota. They beat the Browns. You know, they had four wins against winning teams out of their 5-1 stretch. Four of their wins, 6-1 stretch, is against winning teams. Four out of the six. That's pretty. And one of them that wasn't was on the road against the Chargers this past weekend. So it's not been a fluke for them. Point being, they have actually now. Could they beat one of the big teams in the AFC when ultimately everything is said and done? Come playoff time, I don't know, but that defense makes them a dangerous proposition. That's for sure. And if Buffalo ends up getting in, and we know Kansas City's going to get in, you know, they could say, well, we've beaten two of these teams. You know, we may have lost to the Dolphins if the Dolphins get in, but at least we've beaten two of these teams. So they would have to have confidence heading into the postseason. Strange year for them, but they're on the right side. They're on the uptick, as you say.
Yeah, no doubt about it. In the schedule favorable, the easiest of the wild card contenders in that hodgepodge of teams at 7-6, the six of them, and the Cleveland Browns even at 8-5. There's two New York teams, the Jets and the Giants, that are 5-8. Neither have been eliminated from postseason contention. Both pulled off some big wins on Sunday and Monday at MetLife, led by their quarterbacks. Yes, New York's Zach Wilson and New York's Tommy DeVito. And they received some honors that we'll break down for you on the other side of the break here on Football Full Circle.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
So, Scott, I'm not sure we ever thought we'd see the day that here in 2023, Zach Wilson would start a game for the New York Jets, Tommy DeVito would start a game for the New York Giants, both would win outright as home underdogs inside MetLife Stadium, and both would be named the Offensive Player of the Week in their respective conferences. Zach Wilson, after a 300-yard passing performance against the Houston Texans, as gangrene blew out Houston 30-6, named the AFC Offensive Player of the Week. And Tommy DeVito only threw for a buck 58, but ran for 71 and led a game-winning field goal drive with just about a minute and a half remaining against the Green Bay Packers for the outright win as a 5.5-point underdog, named the NFC Offensive Player of the Week. Again, Scott, what a world we live in.
Amazing. I'm not sure what is more surprising, that or the Belichick news that he could be out of New England. That's the level I put that both those guys winning the respective conference players of the week. Wow. Who would have saw that coming, let alone both? I mean, let alone one. Remember, not both, but they both played well. Is it a blip on the radar screen? We'll see. I think I have more faith in Tommy Cutlets to do it again than I do, you know, Zach Wilson, believe it or not. I mean, if you're going to choose one out of the two to repeat, you had to choose one. Would it be the Giants, Tommy DeVito, or Zach Wilson and the Jets? I think I would go with the Giants and Tommy Cutlets, as they're calling them around here.
Scott, two spreads on Sunday where the New York teams are expected to fall flat. The Giants, a 6-point road underdog in New Orleans. The Jets, an 8.5-point road underdog in Miami. I'm not sure either of those two games are going to be as uncompetitive or non-competitive as the odds makers believe. I don't think the Saints should be laying 6 points to anybody, and I have a New Orleans NFC South divisional title ticket right now, but the Saints as a favorite this year, 2-8-1 against the spread. He's Scott Wetzel. I'm Ben Stevens. That does it for us today on Football Full Circle. We'll talk to you tomorrow at noon Eastern time. We'll be right back.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.